You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Michelin Guide awards stars to restaurants and is considered fine dining's highest honor. Many Michelin-starred restaurants are in San Francisco or Southern California. However, Sacramento is making strides, adding a second restaurant with the acclaimed culinary distinction. The Kitchen restaurant held the Lone Star rating in Sacramento, and now Localis, led by head chef Chris Barnum-Dan and his wife Jessica Dan, have joined the Michelin Guide list. Chris is joining us about his culinary journey and what drove to the success of Localis. And because our food scene is quite vibrant, we've also invited Benji Eagle, food and beverage reporter with the SACB, who keeps the pulse on all things when it comes to Sacramento's growing food recognition. Good morning to you both, Chris and Benji.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to be here.
All right, Chris, I want to start off with your background because your website says you previously worked as a master electrician and you were a musician and then now head chef of Localis and a Michelin star. What motivated you to jump into the culinary scene?
Well, first off, I mean, master electrician sounds rather highly touted, but I did make a very good living as an electrician for many years. I funded the idea of trying to be a musician with the money that I made from my career. Spent a lot of time, energy touring and, you know, playing on a lot of different records and trying to make it as a musician. After a very, very long tour, I came home to girlfriend, wife now, Jessica, who was kind of fed up with, you know, taking care of my daughter and living a life of at home alone all the time, and kind of said, I'm kind of over this. So I hung up the idea of being a professional musician, had also completely fallen out of love with being an electrician, and didn't really know what to do with my life moving forward. I'd put Jessica through college and she had just gotten a good job. So we were at a spot, and a commercial came on TV for the Art Institute and it said, be a chef. And I thought, after those travels as a musician and eating all those delicious different foods, that sounded something that I wanted to do. So I went to school and the next day got a job in a little restaurant up in Auburn. And from that very first day, I kind of realized that this was something that I was really passionate about and that I really loved doing.
The both of you founded Localis back in 2015. How did all of those experiences shape your vision for the restaurant?
Well, I think that having a severe love of all kinds of food, not one kind of food, really kind of drove the idea of what Localis is, which is very hard to kind of quantify into something that you can say real quickly. It's not an Italian restaurant or a French restaurant or this kind of restaurant. We do food. We celebrate culture. And I think that you have to have a pretty good wealth of experiences with different cultures, cuisines, in order to be able to do that.
Yeah. Ate at your restaurant back in 2017, and you had mentioned that you had just came back from, I believe, Thailand, and it influenced your menu, and it was wonderful. I guess, how do you continue to get inspiration from a menu that really just rotates quite frequently and relies on seasonal ingredients that are local?
Yeah, I think that's the first and foremost goal, is to consistently just use what's in season and what's available to us. Sometimes that's limiting. Sometimes that forced creativeness, because you only have these things to work with, and yet you have to tell a story about things that maybe aren't in season at the time. I love that aspect. I also sometimes feel shackled by creative, things, because I have to be doing something new and this and that. And other times, like right now, we're just celebrating autumn equinox, the fact that it's getting cold and that the seasons are changing. So we've kind of just given up on a specific thing that we do at Localis and more just let it be whatever's driving us is going to be what's on the menu the next month.
Yeah, and it's more than food. It's an experience, and it's a memorable one for so many people. Were you aware that the Michelin Guide was looking at your restaurant and eating there and eventually awarding you a star?
Yeah, since 2019, when the first California Guide came out, and we were given a plate award back then. Now it's called a recommendation. We knew that, you know, we were available to be, you know, handed something like a star. It took us, you know, 2019, there was a lot of people saying that we should have gotten a star. I knew right away that we were not at that level, nowhere close, actually. Some nights, maybe some weeks we were, but in general, there was still a lot of things changing constantly in the restaurant that made that not possible. But 2021, we were closed for renovations when I think they were in town, and we missed that year. This last year, I felt that we were at that level, and I guess they agreed with us.
I would imagine, is there an added stress when you kind of have an inkling that there's anonymous inspectors going to your restaurant and trying your food?
I don't really think of the stress. I think the stress is about the guest. There have been plenty of times that I have thought that I have figured out a Michelin inspector. For me, there's specific questions, there's specific ways of conversation that happen that make me think this person could be Michelin. I'm not going to give up all my secrets because they're secretive as well, so I want to make sure I can maintain that. But we don't change anything. If I think a table is Michelin, I don't check their food. I don't make sure that everything is perfect. I let the team do what they do, because if we change to try to get their attention or to try to give them a better experience, then we'd be losing the idea of what we do at Localis.
Where were you when you found out about the recognition?
I was in, I was in LA because we got invited to the reveal party, and that was at the restaurant. My wife called me. We had already had multiple meetings with the staff saying that we're not going to get a star this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I had heard so many stories from so many chefs with stars and different people that you get, you know, a phone call ahead of time and all of these things. And when the Bib Gourmands came out and we hadn't been called, I just thought, all right, well, we missed it this year and we're just going to have to keep pushing. Localis is successful without a star and hopefully we can continue to be successful. And my wife gave me a call and said, you need to check your emails. And I kind of asked her, what are you talking about? And she's like, you're invited to the star reveal party. And at that point, there was some screaming and yelling and me asking her to not be messing with me, in other words, because I was like, don't play games with me.
In public radio words.
Exactly. In public radio words. And that's good for me. I have a very bad potty mouth, so it's good to catch myself. But we were at Localis, and there's an employee that filmed my reaction of that phone call. And even though we knew that we were invited, and then we did an interview with Michelin, and then we got invited to the after party. I mean, I think it's hard to think that you're not going to get something, but at the same time, I just did not give myself any sort of inclination that this was given, that it was done. So I didn't find out we got a Michelin star until they put Localis and my name on that screen in LA.
It just must have been so rewarding for your entire team and all the work and passion that you put into it day in and day out.
Absolutely. There is no Localis without team. It doesn't matter how good I am as a chef or how creative I am. Obviously, we need a leader, and that's the shoes that I wear. But at the same time, the importance of the team has become the epitome of what Localis is nowadays.
All right, Benji, what stood out to you about Localis when it hit the food scene?
Honestly, you know, it's changed a lot over the years. It's gone from a la carte options to full prefix, 7 or 12 courses. My most recent visit was in May of this year. And honestly, what really stood out to me was the mocktail pairings. Localis is famous for its wine pairings, but I got the non-alcoholic option pairing. And it was just so creative, so inventive. I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything. In fact, I felt like the mocktails added more to the meal than a wine pairing would have. They were doing all sorts of different consommés and teas and little, you know, shots of something. And I really felt that was creative and showed Chef Chris's, you know, creativity abilities there. Yeah.
Were you surprised that Localis received a star this year?
Not particularly. Localis and Chris have really been on a rise in the last year or so. They were semifinalists for the James Beard Award for Best Chef California. And I feel like the restaurant has just gotten more acclaim over the last year. So if there was one restaurant, you know, to get a star from Sacramento, I think, you know, Localis would be on my short list as well.
There may be some people or maybe a lot of people who don't really care about Michelin stars because they're not in the culinary scene. Why is it important? Because Sacramento now has two.
Sure. If you talk to, you know, Visit California or Visit Sacramento, they'll tell you that people still buy the Michelin guides and when they travel and look for that and pick out restaurants along the way to try and dine at. For me, you know, it just gives the Sacramento dining scene a little more legitimacy. To be able to say we have two Michelin star restaurants, you know, and it becomes more of a dining destination when you have a large company like Michelin putting restaurants like Localis in the kitchen on the culinary map for people who really want to eat and spend that money.
What does it mean for you to have a Michelin star, Chris?
Yeah, I've said I've said multiple times in interviews now, and I'm always scared that Michelin's going to hear this and take away my star. But personally, my life is perfect. And I don't mean that because I have lots of money or, you know, a great house or whatever. I look at my life now as completely full. There is nothing that I need in life. So for personal reasons, the Michelin star is just another thing. It's an extra. As a chef, it's the epitome of what I've been trying to achieve with my career. So it's a big deal. It's somebody on that stage handing you a placard and putting a chef coat on you that says that you are one of the best chefs in the world. And there's a lot of discussion amongst a lot of different chefs about, you know, it doesn't mean anything and they don't have it right and whatever else. But nonetheless, for me personally, using the Michelin Guide to travel the world, which I do often, it's the epitome of a career, you know, where you can go to more stars. But I mean, when you get that, when you become one of the around 2,000 chefs in a world of 15 million restaurants to have that designation, that's pretty significant for me.
When you were figuring out the next steps in your life, you know, more than a decade ago before getting into the culinary scene or just maybe dipping your toe into it, do you reflect on that time compared to now? Did you ever think that you would get to this point in your career?
Yes. My first year of culinary school, I set a goal to have a Michelin star by the time I was 40. If you know me, I'm audacious and I live a life full of big, giant dreams and achieving those dreams. I have zero concern about work or how much work it's going to take. And I did have a goal. And even when 2018 rolled around and we realized that we weren't going to move the restaurant to a Michelin designated area because Sacramento wasn't available, I sat down with my staff at a big bonfire and said, we're not ever going to have a Michelin star. I'm not going to achieve my goal of having a Michelin star by the time I'm 40. And none of that matters. We have a beautiful restaurant that's doing really neat things, and we're going to continue doing what we do here in our city of Sacramento.
Why was it important to have Localis in Sacramento? What is it about Sacramento?
Well, I mean, it's where I'm from, right? Like this, I grew up in Forest Hill and I've lived in Auburn for 25 years. I love this area. I knew that I couldn't do Localis in Auburn, which is why I didn't even think about opening Localis up there. I knew that we had to go to a semi-bigger market. And now that I've been in Sacramento for 7 years now, and in years previous in other restaurants, I love this city. I think it's super underrated. I think that we have the ability to gather ingredients like nowhere else on earth. And I do mean that legitimately. Maybe the southern part of France is maybe contending with us on what they can grow, but California, specifically Northern California, grows what the world eats. And we're right here, literally down the street from hundreds and maybe thousands of beautiful farms producing everything you could possibly want as a chef. Where else would you want to go?
I mean, Sacramento has long been like an underdog or overlooked in many industries, including the restaurant scene. Benji, you're also a Sacramento native and you're the food and beverage reporter at the Sac B. How has the culinary scene changed in the last 5 or 10 years?
It's totally changed. I mean, you know, a lot of it has to do with Bay Area people coming to Sacramento. And I know there's been a lot of controversy over that because that's why our rents are going up. But the Bay Area's food scene is excellent as well, and they've really brought a lot of creativity to the Sacramento food scene. At the same time, the Sacramento food scene's profile has been raised. It's been written up in the New York Times and Bon Appetit and other national publications. And I think as, you know, it's grown up, we've seen more high-end places like Allura, like Localis, like Crew really come on the scene and make their own stamp. At the same time, there's a ton of great budget eats where you can go out and find in, you know, a lot of different neighborhoods. I think that there are a lot more restaurants than there were 10 years ago, and I think the restaurants are a lot more creative, they're better, and they're more able to contend on a statewide or even national level.
Yeah, what I love about Sacramento, I moved here in 2016, is like you're hard-pressed to find like a bad meal. Like it's really hard to find a bad meal. There's so much good food here because there's so much diversity in Sacramento that fits any budget. And there's also the Michelin Bib Gourmand, which recognizes a lot of other restaurants in our area. And that's been growing as well, right, Benji?
It has, yeah. I mean, I think we saw Nick's Taco added within the last year or two. That's a really great Mexican restaurant out in Roseville. Patricio Wise and his wife Cynthia are doing really creative work out there. And I think the Bib Gourmands, to some extent, still encapsulate what makes Sacramento's food scene so great as a resident. which is that there are all these affordable options. That's what the Bib Gourmands really look for. And, you know, there are great high-end places such as Localis, but, you know, for day-to-day eating, we really need a lot of good options where you can just go out and spend $10, $15, $20 on a meal and feel like you got your money's worth and then some.
Yeah, I have to say, you have your restaurant list every year, and I just tried one of the Ethiopian restaurants you recommended off Fulton Avenue. So there's something for every budget. I would imagine, too, where do you like to eat, Chris? Where do you get your inspiration from?
Happy that you tied me in because I really hope to use my newfound, weight in the culinary scene of a Michelin-starred chef to be able to promote more. I think that I hope the Michelin Guide starts looking further and further into the outskirts of Sacramento and places that they haven't been to yet for Bib Gourmand. I think that we should have a heavy amount of Bib Gourmands. I hope to see, 20 or 30 Bib Gourmands in the future. I think that'd be really awesome. And I think we deserve it. There's so many places doing really delicious food, that are consistent and delivering amazing things. I love Bencho Yaki, a little restaurant by Greg and Toki.
In downtown.
I constantly tell people all the time it's one of my favorite restaurants in Sacramento. It's hard because unless I'm just promoting restaurants, everyone asks me where I go to eat and I tell them and they start asking me, what about this restaurant? What about this restaurant? And I just tell them, you can't ask a restaurant owner about other people's restaurants. It's just not fair. But I find incredible place to eat. I love Casbah Lounge. I think they're consistently delicious food. I'm really hoping that the late night scene starts popping a little more here in Sacramento. I'd love to be able to go out after work and not just eat fried food and, kind of like pub food, which I like on occasion, but I'm looking for something like fresh, something delicious after I get off work. And I'm really hoping that we can support places enough to start getting to see that more and more.
Yeah, and I see you nodding too, Benji.
Yeah, I think that's something that Sacramento's nightlife scene is still really lacking. And, if you think about a great city nightlife, the food is part of that. That we don't have a lot of restaurants that are open when the bars close at 1 or 2 p.m. or a.m., and as Chris said, it's a lot of fried food, junk food, and sometimes you want that to soak up a night of drinking, but it'd be great to have a lot more locally owned food from all stripes, I guess, late night.
Would you say Sacramento has a style that we're known for?
Well, farm to fork is really what the culinary scene has hung its hat on for the last 10 years or so. A lot of, restaurants around the U.S. try to use local ingredients these days, but I think there is an emphasis on fresh, on local. There's a bit of creativity on the scene as a whole, but we still try and stick to a certain degree of meat and potatoes, I think. So I would say just, moderate creativity, locally sourced, and really trying to promote those local farmers. I see on a lot of menus, they're pointing out Twin Peaks Orchards or, another farm in the area that they're using ingredients from.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but a lot of people rely on reviews, whether it's on Google or Yelp or what have you. They can also be kind of misleading. I guess, what do you recommend when someone wants to try something new, experience a new cuisine? Should they what weight should they give reviews?
Well, they can give you a little bit of a background of what you're getting into. You can see a menu that way, if the restaurant doesn't have it posted on their own website. There are also, you don't know who's giving the review. So I know that a lot of people try and eat at Chinese restaurants that have 3.5 stars on Yelp because they know that that's maybe not for a certain palate, and that palate is the one that's leaving the review on Yelp. And that if you want something that is closer to what people are going to eat in China, that's where you go. Service can be another reason that people would get a negative review per se. And that can be a little more up to the diner, if they felt they were served poorly or well or whatnot. So I think you can use a review to try and narrow down where you want to go, to try and look at a menu in advance or something. But I would also recommend taking it with a grain of salt, even if it's something I wrote up.
Chris, how do you want people to think of reviews?
Oh, man, reviews. the day we got our star, we had, 10 one-star reviews.
Really?
Oh, yeah. People just trashing us and talking about how terrible we were and how terrible everything was. And, we kind of expected that. But for reviews, I've kind of gone completely different. I use pictures only. I go to Google, I look up a restaurant, I disregard all reviews, and I look at the pictures of the food. Now, obviously, the photography is one thing, but I'm talking about just the look of the food. Does it look like someone's trying to be something that they're not? Does it look like they're trying to just give you delicious food? Does it look like they're using ingredients that are colorful and bright and vibrant? And it's really worked out. I mean, really, really worked out to just look at the pictures and go like, this looks like, you know, sushi that's made by someone that doesn't care about sushi. This looks like someone that really cares about sushi is making sushi. So I think reviews are completely dangerous. I appreciate them, you know, I understand them. But I also am definitely the person that's like, I'm not going to say anything until I go to somewhere and try it. And I feel like we have this culture that there's a lot of people that have never been to a restaurant that had bad reviews and goes, yeah, that place is terrible. Well, have you ever been there? Well, no, but I've seen enough. You don't, you know, maybe you would love that restaurant. Maybe you're the one guy that's 5-star review and this place is great, you know? So yeah. I think it's a give and take. I think you have to appreciate them because they're part of the culture of dining. I also think you can make your own review.
And I think it's important to try a restaurant more than once, you know,
oh,
it can be an off night, you know, and so I think it's important to try it more than once. Photos are a great suggestion because sometimes when I read reviews, someone writes like a diary entry of like, you know, the experience that they had, which I don't think really, it's not really helpful to me if I'm going to have that kind of experience as well. Finally, what I'm hearing from both of you is that this is just kind of the beginning when it comes to Sacramento and its recognition. Where would you like to see our food scene, our culinary scene, where would you like it to see it go? And how would you like it to see it grow in coming years? Chris?
Yeah, I have a huge focus on trying to support people doing something they're passionate about. I think that one thing that I will say about the Sacramento food scene in general, and you know, if it lands me in the hot seat, is that we're followers. We see somebody be successful at something, and then there are, you know, sometimes 10, 20 restaurants that follow suit doing the same exact thing. We have a lot of restaurants that have the same exact menu, even if they're different restaurants. I'm really hoping that we continue to grow into the diversity that makes our city amazing. We do get to hang our hat on one of the most culturally diverse cities in the world. I want to see more representation and more support for people doing interesting new concepts that aren't the same as what you see everywhere else. And I think once we start settling into that, you're going to see a huge explosion of people that are passionate about what they're doing. And for me, that's what food is. It's passion. So if we can see more people doing the food that they're passionate about, I think we're going to have an even more expressive and beautiful food culture here in Sacramento.
How about you, Benji?
I would love to see a little more of a spotlight on restaurants outside of Midtown, Downtown, East Sacramento. I think Michelin, since they've come to Sacramento, has largely reviewed places in those regions. And, you know, there's really a lot of great less expensive, you know, or, you know, different restaurants that shine a light on all of Sacramento's diversity. But somehow it feels like when people parachute in from out of town, they really focus on the bright lights in the center of the city. That's something I try and focus on in my reporting is, you know, the smaller places run by a variety of cultures. And I'd love to see a little more large scale recognition of those when other media outlets or, you know, publications come into town and shine a light on our great food scene.
Benji and Chris, thanks for stopping by and making the time. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Always fun talking about food. Chris Barnum Dan is the owner and head chef at Localis, which received its first Michelin star. And Benji Eagle is a food and beverage reporter for the SACB, who keeps the pulse of Sacramento's growing culinary recognition. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.